Good morning, sisters and brothers. You are wonderful today. So let us pray. Lord, we invite you in this meeting. We pray that you speak to us. We need you. We need your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let us read the word of God. In the first letter of John, John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. I read in the name of Jesus. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. This is God's word. This morning, as you could hear it from this text, we are going to focus on one of the elements which we have in this text, because we want to start a series of sermons on temptation. Temptation always happens to the believers. When you start a Christian life, you have to know that the devil is not always happy. It will try to tempt you, to trap you, so that you can betray your faith. This is the reason why during these 3 weeks, coming weeks, we will be talking about temptation. And the sub-theme we are going to develop here, we will focus on how to overcome the lust of flesh. How to overcome the lust of the flesh as we read it in this text. The lust of the flesh is also one of the temptation, the trap to the believers. And John, who wrote this text, he wanted to warn all the Christians, the believers, young believers, old believers, all of them who believe in Jesus Christ. He knew that the temptation is over there. And one of the temptations is the lust of the flesh. That's what we are going to develop this morning. Although we can talk about many things, but we will focus on the temptation, on the lust of the flesh. He warned the believers because he knew that if they are not warned, if they don't know, they might fall into the trap. So this is very important, and it is the reason why we also talk about this text, so that all the believers who are in this church will know that the Christian life is a life of temptation. Now we will learn how we can overcome those temptations. What is the last of the flesh, as we can read it in the text? I tried to go through different definitions, but we came up with some which can help us to understand what kind of temptation is that one. The lust is normally the desire, but a strong desire, an intense desire which goes above, you desire something, but that desire goes above all other things. I know that God gave us the nature, human nature. We can desire something. I can desire having a car. I can have the desire to go and worship. I can have the desire to sing. And then I can sing and I can work for that. But when it becomes lust of the flesh, meaning it is an intensive, a passionate desire which can replace everything. It is an ultimate. When you desire something, you feel that this is the ultimate thing for which you have to work. And whatever means you can use, even destructive means, because it is a burning desire, it is a strong desire, it is a deep desire, then it can lead you to any direction. It can control you. It can prevent you from valuing other needs except that one. And if you don't get it, you don't feel very good. Sometimes some people, when they have this kind of desire, which is called the lust of flesh here, they might end up by using any means. In our system, we can see some kind of people when they desire to be rich, and that is ruling them until it blinds their mind, it blinds their judgment, it rules them, and they become slaves of that desire. And this kind of desire, usually, it doesn't work. It is not a desire which goes in with much God's will. This is the reason why you can see in some system people can have the trend to embezzle even the public money because they want to be richer and richer. Strong desire, destructive desire. Others can go through corruption. Others, again, can, if they love something, they can be jealous until they go and steal or destroy the person who had what they desire. This is a sinful desire. And this is what John is talking about in this text. And this kind of desire, when it takes somebody, it is a disorderly desire. You have a disorderly attitude which is not godly, and it rule you, it drive you to do something wrong against God's love. That's what John talked about in this text. It doesn't mean that the Christians to whom he was addressing this letter were already immersed in this kind of desire, but he warned them so that when this will happen, they will have been warned and they can take responsibility to try to be watchful, because the Christian life is a life of being watchful against all temptation. It's like Jesus, when he came in the world, He is the King of Kings. He was the creator. He created everything. But Satan used this lust of power, the lust of power, by using the lust of eyes. He showed him that, he brought him on the high temple. He said, "Can you see this kingdom if you kneel down to me? I will offer you everything you can see." He wants to create in him this lust of power, the lust of power. But Jesus is a God. He cannot fall into this trap. He knew the mind of this tempter. He is hungry to be. He was tempted to transform the stone into bread. And yet, he can even create the bread out of nothing. This was a strong. And Satan wanted him to have this lust of and forgetting about God's will. This is one of the temptations. But Jesus never fell into temptation. He also, imagine a God. Jesus is a God. How much more as we Christians, we are even weak, we are limited. If we are not warned, we can fall in the temptation. But the temptation never ends, even didn't respect the Son of God, the God himself. So the lust of flesh is that desire, strong desire, deep desire, which send human being to go beyond, to betray God's will to by what he can touch. We can take this from Genesis, where Eve and Adam fell into temptation, and they were tempted by the devil, convincing them that God was jealous. He didn't want them to be like him. This is the reason why he hid, and he didn't want them to touch the fruit. Symbolically, we can understand it like that. But what made them fall? It was that lust of becoming like God, desiring to be strongly to be like God. And then when this came into their heart, they start watching the fruit. If you will, we read the text. They start watching the fruit which they used to see every day. But now, because the heart is having that burning desire to become like God, they say, it's also good to see, to look at. Meaning, the flesh, use the lust of flesh, can happen using our different senses as a human being. The eyes, he can see, she can see. The fruit is good to touch. This is a desire, desiring to touch, and this trying to deny what his God or her God told him or her. And next, the desire of the flesh. The fruit is very good to touch, to see with the eyes, to touch with, I want to feel it, to touch it. This is a lust of the flesh. And then this lust of the eyes and the flesh drove the human being to the pride. The pride is the egoistic feeling of feeling that you don't need to be without, to be with God, but you want to be yourself, you want to be God, to become your own God. That is the pride, which we can say these are the consequences. It can even be the root cause of all this lust of power, lust of flesh, and the lust of eyes. And this is a big danger. When John wrote to these believers, he knew that the world in which they are going to live is a world of full of this kind of temptation. Temptation can be a religious temptation. There are some people who can also be tempted in religions. Consider, for example, our country where we have many religions. Almost every house become a religion, become a church. What do they teach there? Are they still teaching that we have to depend on God's love? Are they still teaching that Jesus is the only one savior in this world? This kind of temptation happened, could have happened to these disciples to whom John wrote the message. You have to be careful, because that time there were so many philosophical and interesting ideas which could have misled the people. Philosophical ideas. And which feels feel to be more logical than our faith. Imagine to tell some people who are philosophers that I believe in Jesus. They might raise the question, have you ever seen him? No, I believe. It's some kind of naivety. We become like naive to say that we believe in Jesus. But in good logical thinking, it could be proven, and then they say you are logical, so you can. And this kind of philosophical religions could have existed in this time, but John warned them that it might happen. Those who preach against God's love, it might happen. These are the last, and then it will create desire. Not only this kind of philosophical ideas, but also the development of that time, the material wealth. While John is writing, he started warning them that they should not love the world. The world, what is the world here? The world is the universe in which we are living. But when he says that you should not love the world, is it true that we should not love our world? The meaning is quite that we should not love what is in the world and the world beyond, above the love of God. Because if we love something above the Lord of God, if we put that thing first in our life, a priority in life, and forget about the love of God, we put God second, and then we are going to work against God's will. Because God's will should have been the priority for them. As they already engaged, believe in Jesus Christ, it should be the priority, but without saying that the world is bad. But when you take those things as a priority, as ultimate, and putting God behind second, it is difficult to serve two masters. It is often difficult. Either you serve this one and you deny the other one. And that is what happened to the humankind. When you love most the things, you have a passion. You take it as a passion, as a ultimate thing, then you will not be able, and that is the verse, one thing, the love of God is not in us if we do like this. That is what John told the believers. So the world is, that John doesn't mean that the believers should neglect their world. We need it for our development, and God, it is God-given. He gave it to us with everything in it, and when we celebrate, we see all those things, we see the world that God gave us, we glorify the name of the Lord. But if what God has given us will drive us in denying God and giving it, taking them as a priority in our life, then this is the world, the kind of world which revolt against God, which deny God, that is the kind of world John is talking about. So, meaning you should not neglect your world. God gave us that we can enjoy what we have in our world. We can enjoy it, but how to enjoy it? Do we enjoy it by neglecting the love of God? If you enjoy it by neglecting the love of God, then this is what John talked about. If we do, then the love of God is not in us because we give it priority. At the end, John is warning the believers that if you put first the world and all the wonders in it, neglecting the love of God, you are building your life on a wrong foundation. Because the world will pass away, and all the pleasures of the world, the desires of the world will pass away as well. But what could last longer is only to dwell in God's love. If we abide to God's love, we can still enjoy all what God gave us, but respecting the love of God. And all our pleasure, all joy we will get out of the world will no longer be controlling us, but we know that we do it with thanksgiving, knowing that it is thanks to the Lord that we are what we are today. So, why are we reading this? It happens. And he said, you have to abide to God's love because God's love will dwell forever, will last forever. And God's love is what is manifested in Jesus Christ. If we read John 3:16, it is said that so God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the only one secret to control our lust of flesh. If you don't found your life on this love of God, who is Jesus Christ, you will never remain forever. Your lust will pass away, your lust of flesh will disappear, and you will disappear with the lust of flesh. But if you found your life on Jesus Christ, you will live forever. But when I want to finish, you might think that this is for those people to whom John wrote. Today, it can concern us. We are facing small development, although it is still small comparing to the development of other countries. But there are so many, many things which are happening in our lives. And if we are not watchful, we are not warned, we might forget about God. I remember when I was a child, they used to sing that in heaven, we will eat meat, we will eat rice. And when I went to other places, even today, the rice became nothing. We used to eat rice maybe three times a year, but today it is the food, a daily food. Are we already in heaven? The problem is that when we look at that, we describe the love of God through bread and whatever. When we have the bread here on the earth, we will say, no more God. Everything, we can click like this. And you already send a message, you click like that, and you said, that's the end. This is the ultimate thing. No, the love of God should be ultimate. The secret to overcome this, not to be confused when we face the development, when we face the happiness of the world, when it is first to recognize that God is the source and the foundation of all this. And then all what we can live, our attitude will be ready to praise, to glorify God for what he has done when we see the world, when we see the joy, when we experience peace, and we will recognize that it doesn't come from us. Our desire will still put God in front so that we enjoy reasonably what God had made for us. May each one of us be warned that the lust of pride, the lust of eyes, the lust of flesh are strong temptation in our lives. Let us recall always of what has done for us, and that we can praise and glorify his name through what we experience in the life. May God bless you.